is harmony? What is the meaning of the word harmony?
Living in
general
terms. Harmony, we call it Hindi.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Harmony is many sounds connected to the center. In other words, you have a raga, you have a central raga, then there's someone's playing, you know, sarod, someone's playing tambura, someone's playing tabla. All the different sounds are connected. There's many different parts, but they're unified in the center. Right? So there's many different tones, everyone's playing different tones, but they're all harmonized in the same theme. So it's harmony. And the opposite of that is discord. So what other meanings of harmony are there? You were saying some other meaning. That's in the terms of music, musical harmony. Yeah, there's working. Everyone's working together for a common goal, and then in that working, everyone feels united, and everyone feels peaceful. And that way, and there's cooperation, and there's peace, and there's united effort for one point, for one center. So this is Krishna consciousness. This is a note I took from my tapes I was listening to. Krishna consciousness is the center of the highest harmony. Krishna consciousness is the center of the highest harmony because we see oftentimes in families, because the family have a group of people, individuals living together, especially in India, you have joint family. Sometimes they say joint mess. We have father-in-law, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, then son or husband and children, 5, 6, 7 people living under one roof, one house, many times. Or even if they're not, there's one family under one roof and a few other roofs and a few other homes, there's other families, but they're the same parivar. It's like the mother lives in one house, the mother-in-law lives in another house, and sisters, brothers, so there's several houses. But if one family gets, if something happens to one member of the parivar, it affects all the members of the parivar. Like your house, if your house is harmonious, that's nice. But if another member, another house of your mother-in-law or whatever, that becomes just out of harmony, then that also disturbs your harmony. But this is the biggest problem in the material world because people are missing the center. They're actually missing the center point. What is the basis of harmony? Because what most people are trying to do is establish sense gratification as the harmonious, as the raga of harmony. That let us all work together for our mutual sense gratification. The husband's working, and generally the husband works to generate money, and he brings it home, and he satisfies the senses of the wife and children and himself. And if everyone's senses are satisfied, then there's harmony. But this harmony based on the senses is senseless. It's nonsense because you can never really satisfy anyone. You can never really at one point or another, someone will be dissatisfied either with the quality of service rendered or the quantity of service. The quality or the quantity of the service rendered in pursuit of sense gratification. Oh, I wanted so much jewelry, and that would make me happy, and then you try to please my senses, but you didn't buy me enough, so I'm unhappy, or the quality or the quantity. So this is why we say that because the only thing that everybody has in common is their connection with God. Everyone is connected to God because everyone's part and parcel. It's like the tree, all the branches of the tree are connected to the trunk. The trunk is there and all the branches are connected to it. The trunk is the center. So the root of existence is God, the root of existence. So we're all connected there. We all have our connection there because we're all spiritual. But when we get into the bodily platform, there's so much difference. Woman's different from man, husband's different from wife. So there's not much commonality. And so the husband, if the husband's senses are being satisfied, and the wife's senses are being satisfied, and the children, the mother-in-law and father-in-law, then everyone seems to be peaceful in the house, and they're happy. And they say, oh, this is a very harmonious house. Why is it a harmonious house? Because everyone's senses are being They're trying, but actually, there's not really harmony because they're all individuals and they all have their different wants. And if someone, and you can see in the material life, there's so much compromise has to be exercised, and because people want, if one individual, he has a particular desire to act or behave in a certain way, and then that's not acceptable to another member of the family, then it becomes disharmony. Oh, I want you to act like this. And then the other person says, but I want to act like this. And then there's no union there. There's no unity. But when, because ultimately, unless there's one center, there can never be absolute harmony. So that's why it says the Krishna consciousness. If Krishna consciousness is center of the highest harmony, the most perfect form of harmony, because in the spiritual world, it says that Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasavya Britya. There's one Ishvara, there's one controller, Krishna, and everyone else is a servant. So there's Eki Purusha, and everyone else is Prakriti. Everyone else is to be enjoyed by Krishna, to serve Krishna. So this, if this principle is brought into this world, yes, we have a common center. Let us cooperate and work for the happiness of Krishna. Let us help each other serve Krishna. Let us help each other progress in our service to Krishna, and our worshipping of Krishna, and our understanding of Krishna, and our knowledge of Krishna. And this way, there won't be any clash. Because, oh, you are interested in Krishna, so am I. And so this is harmony. So that, and then, this note I took is, then harmony is sweetness. Harmony is beauty. Harmony is Krishna. Harmony is our guardian. Harmony is our mother. Harmony is our master. That is sweetness. That is rasa. No enemy. No apprehension. There's no fear or apprehension that I'll be destroyed by any inauspicious elements. So this is the real meaning of peace. Peace means absolute security. Absolute security. But now, we may be peaceful for a few days or a few months, but there's always a threat of... we're in an atmosphere, a very threatening atmosphere. Our security can be upset at any moment. We can lose our peace can be broken by so many circumstances. A death or a different mood or a different idea. Like we see that when sense gratification is not satisfied to one's liking, then one becomes frustrated, disappointed, angry. And so this is the material world. This is the plane. This whole material world is an atmosphere of disappointment. We have so many expectations because everyone's placing themselves in the center, that I'm the center. So I have these expectations that the circumference is going to work for my benefit. I'm the center, and the circumference around the center is going to work for my benefit. And if the circumference rebels or goes against the center, then there's disharmony, there's discord, disappointment, frustration, unhappiness, and ultimately one becomes angry. Because all this is artificial. This whole idea that I'm the center is artificial. I'm the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. I am the provider. I am the maintainer. I am the doer. I am such and such, and I demand such and such. This is all misconception. Maya. Maya. The word maya. Maya means that which is not. Ya means that. Ma means na. Not that. Not that. Not this. So, this material world, we're all actually agents of maya, that which is not. We're acting against what we actually are. We're servants, we're trying to be masters. This is against our nature. So there's no harmony. When one actually, this is a great secret of human life. In human life we can discover the secret of success. The secret of success is to realize that actually we are nothing but eternal servants of God. And the sooner we realize that, and the sooner we act upon that, the sooner we find harmony, peace, sweetness, beauty, love, fulfillment. This is the spiritual world. They say Krishna consciousness is the center of the highest harmony. I remember when we were in charge of a temple, either when we were in charge or when we were living in a temple, there were so many independent units, so many men, so many women. But there was harmony. Can you imagine Los Angeles is a community of 400 people, a Gaudiya Vaishnav community of 400 devotees, let's say aspiring devotees, brahmacharis, sannyasis, ladies and gentlemen, single, married, and children. But it was a harmonious community because Krishna was the center. There wasn't clashes. Everyone was doing their part. Making their contribution to the center. And when they're contributing to the center, then they were getting their dividends. Just like in a society, in a social government, you work and you pay some taxes. But then they provide facilities for the people. They provided free education. It kind of sounds like it's free, although you pay taxes. But they give you get something back. You get free medical care, like in England. You know, they have these social governments. Social democratic governments, where they give you education, they give you, you can get dental treatment, you can get eyeglasses, you can get hospitalization, you can get an apartment, everything comes from the government. The government takes care of their people. So the one takes care of the many. Eko bahushyam. From one comes many. The one takes care of many, because the many are cooperating with the one. So in the many jivas, when the many jivatmas, living entities, when we cooperate with the one, or number one, the absolute truth, the absolute person, then he becomes pleased, he becomes satisfied, and then he automatically supplies everyone. Just like Prabhupada would say that if you want to satisfy the tree, if you want to nourish the tree and make the tree grow nicely, it's very simple. You pour water in one place. Pour water on the roots, and the water from the roots is drawn into the roots and distributed to the trunk and the branches and the trunk, the branches and twigs and leaves and flowers everywhere. There's no need to independently or separately water each leaf or each branch. So when the root of existence is God and serving God. So everyone's operating out of ignorance. There's gross ignorance. And we grow up with it. We're born into ignorance, and we grow up in ignorance, and we're educated in ignorance, and we get degrees in ignorance. Like we're steeped in ignorance. And we used to have this phrase that if someone has a PhD, you can get a bachelor's degree, like BS, Bachelor of Science, or BA, Bachelor of Arts, called bachelor's degree. Then if you go further, you get a master's degree, MA, Master of Arts. Or MBBS, Master of Science. And then you can go higher than that, get a PhD. He's a doctor, a doctorate. You're a doctor of medicine or whatever. We used to joke and say PhD means piled higher and deeper. PhD. Piled means steeped in, covered with. A big pile, a big heap, a big stack, a big Kuta, big mountain, Kut, Anukut, P and then H, higher and higher, very high, big thick covering, and deeper, PhD. So people are born in ignorance, they live in ignorance, they're educated in ignorance, and they get many degrees in ignorance. And then they carry out their life's activities all in ignorance, and they die in ignorance. Then where do they go in next life? Become animal, because animal is tamasic deha. Tamagun Deha, Tamagun Sharia. This is the tragedy of the human form of life, and people become self-righteous. People become self-righteous and proud and condescending. They say, oh, I'm Hindu. I am Hindu. I am Hindu. Acha, what does Hindu mean? You have 50 Hindus, what does Hindu mean? You've got 50 different definitions. I am Christian. I am Muslim. These are only upadis. These are designations. They are just as meaningless, for the most part. They are just as meaningless as saying I am Punjabi, I am American, I am French, German, Russian, I am woman, I am man. These are meaningless upadis, senseless, meaningless. These are expressions of ignorance. I am not man or woman, I am not Punjabi or American, I am not Hindu, none of these things. Krishna is telling, giving absolute knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. Mamayamamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manakshastrani indrani prakriti stani karshita. Karshita. He says, Krishna is saying, you are my part and parcel. You're not part and parcel of Punjab. You're not part and parcel of the female gender. You're not part and parcel of the male gender. You're not husband, wife, child, guru, teacher. You're my part and parcel. You're an agent. You're God's agent. You're God's servant. Created by God. Like the Bible says, man is made in the image of God. Nara Leela, human-like Leela. So God in the ultimate expression is a human form. Ram, Narayan, Vishnu, Krishna. Transcendental, spiritual body, Satchidananda Vigraha, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karana, Govinda Madhi Purusha, Tamaham Bhajami. But we entrench ourselves in these gross illusions that I am the doer, I am the provider, I am the protector, I am husband, I am wife, I am mother, I am child. And we carry these misconceptions, and that's why I say we become self-righteous. I am Hindu. Someone says, yes, I am Hindu. All right, so what does it mean Hindu? Hindu means you follow Hindu Dharma. And Krishna means you follow Christian Dharma. And Muslim means you follow Muslim Dharma. And Dharma means the dictates of the duties and dictates of the Shastra, the scriptures, the Quran, the Bible, and the Veda. The Shastra. But nowadays people say, I'm Hindu, and they do abortions, and they drink, and they smoke, and they eat meat, and they say, I'm Hindu. God is not the center of their life. Hindu means proper Hindu, proper Christian, proper Muslim means God is the center of my life. At least it means following the Shastra, following the scriptures. Who's doing? Everyone's going to say, yeah, I'm Hindu. The modern human beings of this Kali Yuga right now in Delhi, in New York, Los Angeles, London, Australia, Japan, Chinese, everyone is living like an animal. Living just like animals. The human form of life, but living like animals. And if someone speaks about God or thinks about God or is inclined towards God, he's an outcast. He's cast out. He's rejected from society. He's persona non grata. He's not wanted. He's actually driven out. Hey, what is this? You want to serve God? You want God to be the center of your life? Are you crazy? This is not the standard now. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. What is this God? You believe in God? You're crazy? You just say you're Hindu and be quiet. Just say you're a Christian and be quiet. When they pass out a form, what is your religious creed? You fill in Hindu. That's all. You write in Christian or Muslim. But actually following the tenets of the religion. It's a joke nowadays. People, they mock you. If you want to be religious or God-centered or follow the laws of God, you get castigated. You get castigated from society. You get ridiculed and criticized, even scolded by your own intimates. By your own confidants and relatives. What happened to you? What happened to you? What is this? Hare Krishna, reading Gita and Bhagavatam, getting up early? What, have you gone crazy? This is Kali Yuga, upside down, viparita vichara. So mistake. Upside down consideration. What is black is accepted as white. What is night is accepted as day. What is sin is accepted as standard behavior. The growth, abortion, drinking, all these things accepted. Oh, it's the modern way, man. Cannot carry on with life. Press your cell phone and throw the kid away. What are you worried about? You have to live. You have to have your life, your freedom. Live your life. Remember that first two students they had, Shamapriya and Jagannath Das, 1980. Six or seven or so, I gave some initiation to two young people, and they fell in love marriage in high school, And then their parents, which were younger than I was, they were telling me, what is this, you're a young girl, you're only 16 and he's 17. You should just, you have your whole life ahead of you, just abort this child. Mother's telling abort on one side, and the father of the boy is saying, yes, both parents are saying, just throw this kid out. And they were so virtuous, they said, what is this? This is murder. We're not stupid. How can we kill this child? God has given us this child. This child belongs to God. He can give life and he can remove life. We can murder, we can kill like this. If I go on the street and kill somebody, I go to jail. If I kill somebody in my womb, I should also go to jail. I have no right to kill the guy in the street. Can I go up to the guy in the street? Hey, I don't like you. I don't want you to walk. I'm in the street. Every day I'm walking up and down the street and I don't like you on the street. Boom. What will happen to you? You go to jail. Oh, you're in my womb. I don't like you sitting in my womb. Hey, what are you doing in there? Get out. Kill you. A very, very thoughtful young individual, 15 and 17 or 16 and 17. So, against our parents' wishes, we said, forget it. And they said, okay, then you're on your own. So the mother threw the daughter out, the father threw the son out, and they left high school because she was pregnant, and he got a job, and they had a child. And they're still, they're carrying on their life. Responsible life, human life. This is dharmic life, but nowadays it's like snakes. People are like snakes. Snakes have so many kids and they eat them. Finish them off. Not all of them, but a few of them. a few hors d'oeuvres. So of course it's also going to that. But this is harmony. Krishna consciousness center. And harmony is when can you imagine a society where everyone's working for the same thing, same point? As soon as there's ulterior motive, as soon as there's personal interest, then there's clash. Like if we're in a band, and I'm the conductor, the music conductor, and we have some musical score we're playing, and you're following, then you decide to be independent. So, I don't feel like following this music. Don't you? Don't. Hey, what's going on? You ruined the whole orchestra. The whole concert will be ruined. There's a piano player and a flute player and every so many people playing instruments, 50, 60 people in a big orchestra. And then you go independent. I'm going to why should I follow the conductor? I'm independent. I have my own will. I have my own will, my own desire. I want to do it like this. Boink, boink, boink. The whole thing is ruined. So this is, Krishna's the master conductor. And we're meant to sing for him. Sing for his pleasure and play and act for his pleasure. Be conducted by him. Move according to his will. Act according to his will. This is given in Shastra. And when we do that, everything becomes properly adjusted. Everything becomes balanced, sweet, harmonious, beautiful. That's what's being said here. Harmony is sweetness. Harmony is beauty. Harmony is Krishna. Harmony is our guardian. Harmony protects us. When everyone's working together, you feel strength. We have a phrase in English, strength in numbers. Prabhupada used to tell the analogy. When he was in New York, in Manhattan, there was this big telephone book. In the old days, they had these telephone books. Maybe now, I don't know. But in Manhattan is a big city, 20 million people, and the phone book was this thick, that paper, that thin paper, Bible paper, this thick. And even the world's strongest man cannot rip it apart. You cannot rip it in half. All those little Bible papers, little piece of paper together, 10,000, so many papers. But probably, he said, if you take one sheet out, probably took out one sheet from the advertising or whatever. You take one sheet, then even a baby with no strength in his hands or body, he can rip that sheet in pieces. So he said, this is the strength of harmony. When everyone's working for Krishna, then there's so much protection there. That's why we say harmony is our guardian. So all the pages are connected to the binding, and they're all connected to each other by the virtue of the book binding of the telephone book. So they're all connected. You can't rip them. So that harmony is our guardian that protects us. So when everyone's working for Krishna's pleasure, then they're protected by that unified effort, because the unified effort is connected to the supreme controller of everything, God. So this is a nice principle. But if we're independent, then we just get ripped in a second, destroyed. Some feedback on what I said? No, and when there's harmony, there's no enemy. There's no apprehension that I will be destroyed by inauspicious elements. Because animal means independent interest.
Yeah.
Animal means independent animus, the animated being, the individual being. One has independent interest, not of the whole. He's selfish. He wants something only for himself. But when everyone wants the center, that's where the harmony is. Everyone says, yes, I've realized that I am part and parcel of God. I've realized that I'm meant to serve God. And I've realized all the shastras and holy scriptures are telling me that human life is meant to realize God, to serve God, to cooperate with God. And so then, if your mates, if your husband or wife or family, if you all agree with and have that same realization, which is the universal realization. This is what God realization means, to realize that I am a part of the great whole. And I have a part to play in relation to the great whole. And my part to play, as a tiny part of the great whole, my role or part to play is to render some service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Arjanam, Amphata, Sevanam, like this. Just render some service. And if I'm serving, then I'm connected to the whole. I'm playing my part. I'm in harmony. I'm protected. I'm beautiful. I become beautiful that way. Because selfishness, by taking we go down, by giving we go up. By giving we progress, by giving we improve, by giving we go up, by taking we go down. Well, one of our phrases we're adding to our Vaishnava Padyavali, always adding new ones, maybe for that one. Nothing to take, everything to give. Because in the material world they have this phrase, nothing to lose, all to gain, nothing to lose. They say this in America, all to gain, you have all to gain, nothing to lose. Gain means to acquire, to gather, to collect, and nothing to lose. But we say, nothing to take, everything to give. Instead of saying nothing to lose and everything to gain, we say, nothing to take, we don't want to take anything, everything to give. And we gave a footnote here, this is the meaning of pure love. This is the meaning of pure love. No calculation, no independent maneuvers. They say ulterior motives. Separate agenda. I use a popular term, agenda. What is your agenda? What are your mission statements? And everybody's on the take. And they even have a phrase, he took me for a ride. He took me for a ride. In other words, he screwed me, he cheated me, he ripped me off or betrayed me. Even Jesus was betrayed. Nothing to take, everything to give. This is my thing. I was trying to think, this is the meaning of pure love. You're so absorbed from moment to moment to giving and assisting Krishna. Because if you try to give or assist someone in this world, you'll be flat. It won't work. Because it's misplaced. Because you can never there's nothing material that can ever satisfy the soul. Because the soul is spiritual. The soul can only be satisfied, like the round peg in the square hole analogy. No matter what you do to that round peg to try to beat it up and fit it in the square square hole, it's not going to make it. If you find a round peg in a round hole, then it's natural. It fits. So the natural position, jivera swarupaya krishnara nityadas, the swarupa, the jiva, is servant. It's natural. It's natural. It's actually the natural position. But the degree to which one wants to be the enjoyer, the degree to which one wants to exploit another individual, to squeeze them, to collect them, to suppress them, to overlord them, to control them, to utilize them, to use them, to abuse them, to have them, to hold them, to exploit them. To that degree, that's the degree to how much that jiva is covered over by illusion, maya, that which is not. The further away one is from this conception that I'm a servant, that means the further away he is from God. Although he may call himself Hindu, Shmindu, Bindu, Christian. This is the point. As one comes closer and closer to the conception that I am a servant, my Prabhupada used to say, they would ask some servant, they'd say, who is your master? And he said, oh, everyone's my master. And then we have the phrase, a servant of all is a servant of none. In Jesus' phrase, a servant of all is a servant of none. So the jiva is a servant of one. The servant of the one is the master of none.
The is God here.
Yeah. The servant of the one. The absolute one. That's parokshava, and that's understood. So someone might say, yeah, that's me. a servant of the one is the master of none. And this is what Lord Chaitanya is saying. I am your eternal servant. Ainanda Tanushikindkaram Patita Ma Mishave Balamado Kripya Tava Parapankajas Titandali Sajishan Vachante. Oh, Nanda Nandan, I'm your eternal servant. I'm your kinkar. Every living entity is kinkar or kinkari. Every living entity is servant of Krishna. He is the one and only master. He is the master. Ishvara Parama, Krishna. Parameshvara. Everyone knows this. Every Hindu, everyone knows. Oh, Parameshvara. Yes, Jagadish. Jagannath, Jagadish, Parameshvara, Krishna's Parameshvara, yes, God is Parameshvara. Okay, well, you're saying that? You're saying, yes, Bhagavan, Parameshvara, hey. Bhagavan is the Parameshvara. Most people will agree. Well, if he's the Parameshvara, that means he's the supreme master, second to none. He's the absolute master, the absolute controller, second to none. There's no competitor. If you're the world boxing weight champion, that means it's only you. Your competitor is lying on the mat. Your competitor is lying, you know, with his eyes out. His eyes blacked out because you got a black eye. You knocked him out in the third ring of the boxing match. So there's no the competitor. You can't be the world champion boxing champ of the world unless you knocked out your competitors. So God is the one and only master. He's Parameshvara. So yes, you say. You ask someone, ask any Hindu, do you agree that Bhagavan, Vishnu, Narayan, Krishna, whoever, that Bhagavan is the Parameshvara?
Yes.
Everyone will say, isn't it? That if he is the Parameshvara, which you agree, that means that Bhagavan is the supreme controller and the supreme master. So if he's the master, what does that make us? The servant. If there's a master, you can't be a master unless you have a servant. I am the master of the house. Like if someone comes here, I say, do you know I am the master of this house? He says, really? Who else is here? Nobody. Well, then my mastership doesn't mean anything. Because there's nobody to be master over. I'm the only guy, I'm Akila. Akila Atni, only one guy living here. Do you know I am the master? So master, the very definition, it's contextual. The definition depends on some certain attributes. So without servants, you can't. Just like you can't be a guru without disciples. And you can't. Oh, he's a very good father. Acha, he's a good father. How many children he has? None. Hey, wait a minute. You can't be a father without children. It's correlational. There's a relationship. So if we, every Hindu will say, even whether he'll say yes, he's the Supreme Master. So if God is the Supreme Master, and everybody else is his servant, then that means that we are supposed to serve the Master, which means do what he asks us to do. Is that the meaning? You agree that the Master, he gives the orders, and the servant, he carries them out. So where do you find the orders of the Master? Well, you ask the Master of the house. Master, what should I do? Oh, wash the car, clean the house, wash the dishes, wash my clothes, drive me to the store. You get the orders. So the commands or the orders of the Master or God are contained in his words. And his words are the Shastra. Shastra Vakya. Shastra is Bhagavan Vakya. Guru Vakya, Bhagavan Vakya. The words of Bhagavan is in Shastra. Shastra Vakya. Guru Vakya. This is the real understanding. So as soon as someone says, well, wait a minute, I'm the Master. I have this very common phrase that someone says, I remember my father sometimes is using this phrase. Listen, this is my house. I'm the Master, because my brother and I, we always get in trouble. So listen, this is my house. I'm the Master of this house. If you don't like the way I'm running things around here, then out. Listen, we're getting like 16, 17. Things go like this. So he said, oh. And my brother and I would talk, well, yeah. He said, you don't like it, you start your own house. He said, around here, I'm the Master. I said, well, yeah, can't argue there. So he was deeply in the illusion that he was the Master. But the real point is that if everyone agrees, the wife is not the Master, the husband is not the Master, the children are not the Master, God is the Master, Parameshwar. He is the Lord, he is the controller, he is the Master. And if we all work for the common center, under his mastership, under his order, under his instructions, which are given in Shastra, then it becomes harmony. Then it becomes peace. Then it becomes happiness and fulfillment. There's no more arguments anymore. There's no more conflict anymore. There's no more discord. No more disharmony. Do you agree that God is the Master and we should serve him? Yes. Well, do you agree that God is the Master and we should serve him? Yes. Okay. Well, now we agree on that. Let's serve him. No, but I want this and I want that. Oh, independent interest. What is this? Why is this independent? No, but... So this is our downfall. This independence is the downfall of the jiva. Dependence is our position. We're meant to be dependent on God and cooperate and serve God. Then everything's nice. Everything's very blissful, happy, harmonious. Universal harmony. Individual. The person becomes harmonious with himself. He becomes harmonious with others. He becomes harmonious with the universe. Cooperation. Like Prabhupada used to talk about the United Nations. They tried to make United Nations in New York in 1945. They started the United Nations organization. And they wanted all the nations of the world to unite. And Prabhupada said, it'll never unite. Because separate interests. Germany has their interest. India has their interest. Local interest. It's called local interest. As long as we have local interest or provincial interest, not universal interest, it can't be harmony. The only center of everyone, the center of all existence, is God, Krishna. So what happens, we see that people try to take the place of God. People try to become the Master. They try to usurp or take over the position of God. I am the Master. I am the center. Everything should revolve about me. Whatever I say, whatever I want, is my world, my house, my community. My nation, like America. America wants to rule the world. They want to dominate the world. The whole world should serve my interest, our interest. So therefore, America is exploiting 70% of the world's resources. Can you imagine? The American nation with its people only comprises like 10% of the world population or whatever it is. And they consume and gobble up and utilize for their own sense gratification 70% of all the goods that are produced. All the materials that are produced by every nation of the world. Do you know that? The copper, the iron, the gold, the tin, the oil, you know, the uranium, the plutonium, whatever types of elements and compounds and products are made in the world are all consumed by the American consumers. These are statistics. So they're extremely self-centered and greedy and exploitive-minded. So consequently, the world's in a mess. Some have so much, some have so little. So this is the exploitation mentality. It's all based on misunderstanding, misconception. When we come to the true knowledge of our identity, then we become peaceful. Otherwise, all our attempts at finding peace, family peace, individual peace, community peace, or world peace, are all based on personal ideas. And it's flimsy. It cannot last. The peace that we see in modern families is based on suppression of individuality. This is what we see. We see peace somewhere, and it's only relative. It's only relative and it's only temporary. As long as you can suppress individuality, then you can have some degree of peace. If everyone suppresses their individuality and submits their individuality to whoever claims to be the master, then there's some semblance of what appears to be peace. In other words, like one person says, oh, I'm the head of this household, I'm the father. So everyone submits to his rule or his wish or his whim. So then everything looks peaceful. But this idea where one is exploiting the wishes, the life of another, is not, let's say, it's not sustainable, because it's based on suppression. It's based on suppression of individual will. Because the individual will, when the soul, when the individual jiva, when he becomes purified, when he becomes realized, he starts to understand, I am part of God. I have a relationship with God. And this becomes a very, very deep and important realization. And that's an individual. That's individual realization. Now, if the master or the person who's in charge of, say of that family, if they don't have that realization, then they'll feel threatened. Oh, there's another master? God, there's another master besides me? So then it becomes envy. Envy manifests. It becomes envy and competition. And, oh, why is the person expressing subordination to the mastership of God? I am the master. Everyone in this house should be subordinate to me. So out of fear, everyone suppresses their individuality. Because the pure expression of individuality, when an individual soul becomes purified, his consciousness becomes purified, he wants to serve God. He or she, or whomever, wants to serve God, wants to connect with God, wants to realize God, wants to follow the teachings of God, wants to return to God, and understands that God and God alone is the eternal supreme master of everything and everyone. You follow? So if you have that realization, everyone around you doesn't, then you're in a dilemma. Because you're surrounded by ignorance, as I said. Everyone's born in ignorance, everyone lives in ignorance. Everyone lives in ignorance that I am the master. And then people say, okay, you think you're the master, and just to keep the peace around here, we'll follow your ignorance. We'll all submit to you that you're the master. We'll play the game. We'll play the mastership game. We'll let you play master, surrogate master, false master. Because we're also in ignorance. We're thinking that you're the master also. This is the Prabhupada used to say that this modern civilization, the advancement, they consider the advancement of ignorance to be the equivalent of the advancement of civilization. It's a very nice phrase. The modern people of modern day right now, they consider the advancement of ignorance to be equivalent to the advancement of civilization. Oh, we have so many cell phones and so many MP3 recorders and so many remote control television. We have microwave ovens and fancy cars and stereos and and plastic clothes and all kinds of satellites and microwaves and wonderful technology and communication. Okay, we don't deny that those things are existing and they may facilitate some movements or transactions in this material world. But the net result of all that is that people are acting, living, and thinking like animals. Everywhere pornography, everywhere whiskey, everywhere intoxication, everywhere illicit activities, everywhere abortion, murders, rape, terrorism, alienation, fear, suicide. These are all activities which are produced from tamogun. Tamogun, ignorance, illusion, darkness, destruction, darkness, ignorance, tamogun. So all these trinkets, all these things are, okay, that's interesting exercise of ingenuity to create these computers and other trinkets. But they're accepting, the advancement of ignorance is accepted as the advancement of civilization, because ignorance means the bodily conception of life. To think I'm an animal, to think I'm a tiger, that's ignorance. To think I'm a human being, that's ignorance. So nowadays, people are completely entrenched and completely covered or absorbed in the idea that I am the body generation. And they have shops, the body shop, creams and powders. And so many creams and so many powders. 100 years ago, all there was turmeric and sandalwood. You rub turmeric or sandalwood on your face and you wash your hair with multani mitti, with some clay, and rub some coconut oil on. There's 4 or 5 things that ladies use for cosmetics. And kunkum, 5, 6, 8 things, not much. A little malai and a few natural things. Now it's 17,000 different products to put on your nose, and 18,000 things to put on your eyes, and 16,000 kinds of bars of soap, and shampoo for dry hair, and wet hair, and oily hair, and kinky hair, and black hair, and bumpy hair, and young hair, and old hair, and gray hair, and white hair. It's like nauseating. So the absorption in the body, the attachment to the body, the meditation on the body, the identification with the body is increased 10,000% in the modern age. So this is ignorance. So the advancement of ignorance, which means thinking on the body. Does animals think I'm... Tiger thinks I'm tiger. Spends all day licking his fur. Well, no. Licks his fur all day and licks his paws and goes out and jumps on some tiger and comes home and licks his paws and goes down to the river and looks in the river and sees his face. Oh, my hair is dirty. grooming and licking. That all day long people go to the manicurist and the hair shop and the beauty salon and all this, especially in India, they never had all this junk. Now India was relatively somewhat detached, but now they're 100% facials and the beauty shop and this and that. Spend all day long, all day and all night, and reading newspapers and magazines and articles about body. This food for your body, this exercise for your body, this clothes for your body, this thing for your body, body. I am the body. So this is the advancement of ignorance. They've increased everyone's attachment. Everyone's attachment to their bodies now is, as I said, 10,000 times more than it was 200 years ago. People just put some shirt on their back and they went to work and they read Ramayana and Mahabharata and they passed their lives thinking about God and the body. Okay, something. And now it's just gone crazy. So this is ignorance. And they call it, we're so civilized now, much more than our great-grandparents. It's a joke. Just open any book of statistics, crime statistics, worldwide crime statistics, Delhi crime statistics. How many murders in 1920? How many murders in 1940? How many murders now? I mean, even you can say, there's more people now. Okay, do it per capita. It's called per capita statistics. And so there were 3 million people in 1950 in Delhi. There was one murder in 1 year. So per capita, then it's not much. It's only 0.01%. So it's not a very harmonious age. That's the conclusion. Sa re ga pa pa ni sa. Haribo. err is human, to forgive is divine. Did you get this song?
Yes, sir.
You got this thing?
Yes,
sir. Krishna's love is everything. Without it, everything is nothing. I'm getting some new ones. What was is past. What is won't last. At all times be steadfast. And then for devotees who would know a little bit about, you know, slang, I added a little more. That's the general standard one for general public. And then so, but there's a special addendum for those that are with it. What was is past. What is won't last. At all times be steadfast. Chant Hari Nam and have a blast.
Yeah.
If you're not hip, you won't know that. What blast? Blast! Oh, bomb blast! Bomb blast! Terrorist! Look at the modern, because they say bomb blast. Yesterday in Mumbai there were 3 bomb blasts. They say bomb blast on the BBC News. So generally, blast is associated with some bomb. But in American slang, it means you had a great time at the party. Oh, we had a blast. It was rocking, it was a blast, it was awesome, and this kind of colloquial slang terms. So that's just in parentheses for the modern set. But even the ones that don't know that much, they can understand this much English. What was is past. What is won't last. At all times be steadfast, determined, unshakable, patient. Patience is a pearl of virtue.